I love this verse of scripture. I quote it often. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Because it tells us that we should keep our heart with all diligence or all vigilance. And above all, guard it, for out of it flows the springs of life. All right, I want you to notice that verse because it says, out of the heart flows life. Whatever life flows out of it, it all comes out of what's on the inside. So our lives have a flow proceeding from within. So all of us, our lives have a flow. Just like in a game, there's a flow of the game. And during the course of that game, there are many shifts. You know, it's what they call momentum, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, somebody will make a game-changing play, and there will be what is called a momentum shift. There's all kind of flows in a game. You know, one thing in watching the Saints play football, for as long as we have watched them now and their history, you know, I think you would probably agree with this. About 80% of the time, you can, through the first half of that game, you can pretty much determine the flow of that game and how it's going to go. I mean, you pretty much realize that the Saints are either going to win or they're going to lose, right? Probably 80% of the time. You know, and it's all determined by the flow of the game. Every game has a flow. And my friends, our lives have a flow. Every one of us, there is a flow in our lives. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23 that we must pay particular attention to the condition of the heart, because it's from the heart that the flow comes. Do y'all see that in the verse? For from within the heart, it's in the heart, flows forth. See, heart is defined this way. It is the spiritual, intellectual, emotional nature, the spiritual inner life and character. It is the desire producer that makes us tick. So that's why the heart is so vital. It's so important. Because it is the spiritual, intellectual, emotional nature. It is the inner life and character. It's where the action takes place. Whatever is the condition of the heart. So our lives have a flow that proceeds from the heart. Now, it's very important that we understand this. This is my next point. Because the sin principle determines the life flow in people's lives. All of us have to deal with a sin principle, that there is corruption on the inside. We inherited that from Adam and Eve, right? We inherited that. We are born with it. That's why David said that I was born in iniquity. He was, you know, I was born. What he was saying is, he wasn't saying that his life was born from a bad relationship. He was saying that he was born into this world with a sin problem, with a heart condition, the sin principle. And that, my friends, is what determines the flow of someone's life. Jesus illustrated it. He gave us these words in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Notice what Jesus said. He said, "For from within, that is, out of the hearts of men come base and wicked thoughts, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, coveting, a greedy desire to have more wealth, dangerous and destructive wickedness, deceit, unrestrained, indecent conduct, an evil eye." You ever have an evil eye? Yeah, you probably have. He says, "envy, slander, evil speaking, malicious misrepresentation, abusiveness, pride, the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man, heartlessness, foolishness, folly, lack of sense, recklessness, thoughtlessness. Wow. All of those things, Jesus said, flows from within. He says, for from within it comes out. Do y'all see the flow? There's something that comes out of the heart. All right, so Jesus nailed it right here. For from within, out of the heart proceeds, out of the heart flows all of these things. The sin principle determines the life flow. And my friends, that is the direction of people's lives in the world that do not know Jesus Christ. That was our flow before we knew Jesus Christ. Amen. We lived all of that. I probably fulfilled every single one of these. And probably so did you. You may not have always done it, but you thought about it. Hello, somebody. So Jesus said, even if you think it, he said, you have committed it where? In your heart. There's an interesting... Oh, I'm preaching this morning. Hallelujah. That word defile is an interesting word. It comes from this Greek word, maino. It means to stain, as with paint or dye. To stain the soul. Polluted effects. Jesus said there is some defilement because of the condition of the heart. He says that we are painted, we are dyed, we are stained, we are polluted. So thank God that David had some insight into salvation even before the cross. Because in Psalms 51:10, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Create it. God creates it. A spiritual heart transplant is what takes place at salvation. This is why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. I thank God that I have had a spiritual of people transplant. God changes the heart of people. Thank God that he does. And when the heart is changed, guess what happens? The flow changes. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. See, at one time our life was flowing this way and all of these things that Jesus defined right here. But then when he creates a new heart, then all of a sudden there's a different direction. There's a different flow. At one time I was going with the current of the world, but now I'm going upstream with God. Hallelujah. I'm going against that current of the world. Amen. Why? Because the sin principle no longer determines my life flow. Thank God that it doesn't. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Glory to God. All right, moving on. I want to talk to you about a case study of a game changer moment. All right, so we understand the bad news. I always say this, if you really want to appreciate the good news, you have to understand the bad news, right? So people always say, well, I got good news and I got bad news. Which one do you worse? Most of the time, people will say, give me the bad news first, right? Give me the bad news. Well, God in his word gives us the bad news first. The bad news is what we just talked about, the flow, it's going the wrong direction, the heart, there's a big problem. But thank God, when the change takes place, the good news is, I don't live like that anymore. Amen? Why? Because there has been a game-changing moment in my life. So I want to talk to you about game-changing moments. Let's define it, a case study of a game-changer moment. I love what we read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. In Revelation 12, 11, it tells us, see, the Bible says in the last days, spiritual warfare is going to be intense. The devil is ticked off. Are y'all with me? I just got to say this. He is mad as hell at you. Think about it. Amen. The moment you deserted his camp, if you're a born-again child of God, he is ticked off at you. If you're not, he's not worried about you. You're still on his team. Amen. But when you transfer, it's like Nick Saban when he left the Tigers. I mean, he became chips. He waited man in the state of Louisiana. And the more championships he wins, the madder we get. Y'all know it's the truth, right? Y'all know it's the truth. The devil has been mad at you from the moment you changed teams. Hallelujah. And the warfare is intense. But I love what Revelation 12, 11 says. Because it says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And it says, and they did not love their lives to the death. Oh, I want you to notice that. The word of their testimony. The power of a testimony. Every one of us, my friends, should have a testimony of what God has done in our life. A game-changing moment. I love what we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Because it talks about a man by the name of Enoch. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That, how about you? Amen? I want to have that testimony that my life pleases God. Now, if all of us were honest, we know that we've all done things, we've all messed up, and there's been times where maybe our life didn't please God, right? All of us have probably been there, but thank God that's where Jesus comes in. Because the Bible says every time you mess up, every time you sin, he says, we have an advocate with the Father. Do you know what that means? It means you got the best defense attorney in the entire universe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. One call, that's all. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Once you call upon the name of Jesus, he says, Father, I've got them covered. Listen, that's a game-changing moment. They are bought with my blood. That sin is covered by my blood. Oh, the power of a testimony. Let me go on to the, I tell you what, boy, y'all might want to stick around for the second service because I'm gonna be ready to roll even with more danger moment. This is burning in my spirit. Here's the next thing, a case study of a game changer moment. Isaiah 59:19 says, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God says, I will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. The good news of this is that the enemy's flood brings God's standard. Now, how many of you know if the enemy came after Jesus, he will come after you. But God will handle the enemy. I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:17. He says, and who shall harm you if you are followers of that which is good? Hallelujah. Who can stand against you? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why? Because he, my friends, is the ultimate game changer. Hallelujah. when the enemy comes in like a flood. Man, I love this verse of scripture because what it is saying is that God is going to turn back the work of the enemy. And how many of you know there are times in our lives when the enemy does come in like a flood? There are times when all hell, you're just getting loose, and the enemy comes in like a flood. And it might seem like you're just getting past one bad experience, and all of a sudden, man, here comes something else. It's kind of like the old cliche, when it rains, it pours. We understand that in Southeast Louisiana. Amen. Hallelujah. When it rains, it pours. But the real context of this verse is it really should read like this. And when the enemy comes in like a flood will the Lord God raise up a standard against him. See, God doesn't have to figure out what he's going to do. Are y'all with me? God doesn't have to figure out what he's going to do. He's already, the moment that Satan launched an attack, God already had a plan for our victory. Hallelujah. For our progress, for our advance. The moment he strategized against us, the only way he can get us is if we give in, if we surrender. See, that's why the Bible says, I quote it all the time, I'll quote it again. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation overtaking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to endure it. Fire escape. So when the fire comes in, God's got a fire escape plan to get you out of your mess. Sometimes we get in a mess, but thank God he has a plan to turn the tide. They used to have a TV program on years ago, and my father-in-law was a big fan of it, and I used to like it myself. It was called The Equalizer. Some of y'all that watched TV back in the 80s might remember that program, The Equalizer. You know, when the odds were against you, you know, when things, you know, of course it was kind of a crime detective kind of show thing. And when the odds were against you, who do you call? The Equalizer. Well, thank God we got the most awesome equalizer, and his name is Jesus. Amen? His name is Jesus. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, my equalizer, Jesus, is going to turn the tide in my favor. Now, how does he do that? That brings me to the next thing. See, because the standard is the Holy Spirit displayed. Because the word says God will raise up a standard. Y'all see that? He raises up a standard. What does that mean? What is a standard? It's the Hebrew word noite. It means to be displayed. It means to put to flight. It means to vanish away. Hallelujah. So the standard is the Holy Spirit displayed. When the Holy Ghost shows up, things are going to change. Are y'all listening to me today? When the Holy Spirit is on display, things are going to be different. That's why the prophet of God in the Old Testament, Zechariah 4:6, he said, it's not by might, it's nor by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what does that mean? He is telling us it's not by human might, it's not by human strength. We're talking about the power of God. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, when the Spirit of God moves, there is no demon in hell that can resist him. I mean, God is God. Don't ever lose sight that he is all sovereign. He is all powerful. He possesses. Listen, it seems like the devil is winning, but he's not winning. Amen. He loses. He's a loser. I don't want a Jesus loser. I want to follow a winner. And his name is Jesus, because it's a game changer. Let me move on to the last and final thing. case study of a game changer moment. Y'all better get ready, get ready, get ready. Man, I tell you, this story in Acts chapter 26, you talk about a man whose flow was going in the wrong direction. His name was Saul, who would become Paul. He was a religious man. He was a highly educated man. He was committed to the tenets of Judaism. I mean, he was a man that had all of this knowledge and all of this authority. You know, he was sitting on top of the world, but he was an angry man. He was a bitter man, and he was a prideful man. And he hated the name of Jesus. Seems like our culture today hates the name of Jesus. They don't want to hear it. Politicians don't want to hear it. You know, when they call me to come do pray over things, and I haven't gotten an invitation in a while, maybe because they know it's going to be a little radical if I show up. Hallelujah. Prayer. Well, I used to go pray over council meetings, and don't ask me to pray any generic prayer, because I ain't praying no generic prayer. I'm praying the name of Jesus. If you don't want Jesus, then I'm not your man. Come on, somebody. Is that closed-minded? No, I think that's very open-minded. Hallelujah. Because there's no other name beside the name of Jesus. No other name. But Paul hated that name. He hated the name of Jesus. He was angry. He was bitter. He was responsible for the death of the first Christian martyr in Acts chapter 7. A young man by the name of Stephen. So Paul has this incredible transformation, a game-changing moment. And because of that, Paul became passionate about the name of Jesus. Passionate. What happened to him? The heart. Amen? The heart. He had a spiritual heart transplant. So Paul has become this awesome, incredible preacher, missionary. I mean, doing all of this gospel work. He has been arrested, charged with crimes, and he is before Felix. Remember, and he's on trial. And we pick up the story as he is sharing, remember, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. We need a testimony, game-changing moment. So let's visit Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 12, Paul is about to share, he's actually before King Agrippa. He'd already been before Felix. He is now before King Agrippa. And he begins to share his game-changing moment. And it's powerful. So in Acts chapter 26, verse 12, it says, and while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, it raises that standard. Not even hell can resist it. Hallelujah. We had all fallen to the ground. And I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. All of a sudden, Paul said, uh-oh. Not him. The one who I have blasted, the one who I have ridiculed, the one that I have put people to death because of them preaching his name. And he goes on. Verse 16, he says, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And then we have this incredible verse, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He goes on and he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I guess he wasn't. How many of you know that was a shaking in your, I don't guess we could say boots. That was a shaking in your sandals moment. Hallelujah. Jesus. I mean, you talk about a game-changing moment. It happened for Saul, whose name would be changed to Paul, who would write over half of the New Testament, who would then give us such verses that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For my purpose is to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. He gave us all of these great statements. For I am confident of this very one thing, that He who hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, man, we could go on and on and on and on of all of the incredible verses that the Holy Spirit inspired through Paul. He wrote over half of the New Testament. Paul had a game-changing testimony. Do you know why? Because he had a game-changing encounter. And my friends, every one of us, God wants to bring us into game-changing moments.